way for how we perceive ourselves as a child of God. I'm who I am, as Jason Hughes. Remind me who I am, Sharon.
Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name.
Sharon, remind me who I am. And this song that we're going to sing is so appropriate.
In the nursing homes, that
couldn't talk very well, lose a lot of memories, different things, but I always was reminded, you know, no matter what happens in life, the love of God towards us, it's always there, regardless of what happens. And so let the Lord just use you into being His voice and His hands and His comfort to people that are just struggling, going through different things. I kind of remember that as a chaplain. Also want to remind you that the flowers you see here today are left over from the funeral yesterday of Chuck Teelberg. And Donna had said that when they first got married, there was pink glass that she remembers on their wedding day. And she goes, I don't know who, where they came from, she goes, but they're pink. And just reminded her of a lot of different memories in her life as well. I also want to remind you that Lynn Klein lost her mom a little over a week ago as well. She had her the funeral she went to in Mitchell, South Dakota, took place this last Tuesday. So, I mean, it's been a busy week. We had a busy week coming up. We've got Vacation Bible School starting. I'm glad it's not today, but it's starting tomorrow. And Amy, are you here? Well, there you are. Anything you want to say, or are we all ready to go? All right. That's all we need to hear. We will be ready to go tomorrow.
Yes, we're decorating at 1:30.
Oh, there's more decorating going on.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We'll be good.
All right. I guess Daniel's flying in.
Yes.
Just for tomorrow. All right. We hope that he gets here. There's no smoke in the air that the planes can land when we get here. So we're glad for Vacation Bible School that's taking place tomorrow. How many kids we got lined up?
28.
28. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Some other announcements in here, too, then, is just to let you know that there's front and back of your little flyer and your bulletin, just to let you know there's a lot of things taking place this week. If you're a Scandinavian, you want to probably get out to the Bible camp, Okoboji, Ingham Okoboji Bible camp. And there's a concert on Friday night with Glenn Hendrickson out there. If that's always a very, very great time to be out there when he's playing as well. Glenn is a wonderful man. And next Saturday is, I'm going to tell my grandson that pancakes await for him. But he has to come with me to the men's breakfast at Perkins next Saturday. And also a quilt auction take place out at the Bible camp. And the Bible conference is coming up too quite soon as well. So keep all those things in mind. They're there for you to encourage you and to help you to learn what you need to learn. So those are the announcements. You can read the rest that are in there, both sides of the flyer that's in your bulletin, and just put in there something about, do you kind of know the people in the church who are in charge of different things? Just want to remind you. If you don't know who they are, it's okay. It's just to find out who they are. And you just, I think it's very important for you just to know who's on what board, who's on what committee type of a thing. Sometimes we just take that for granted. But we want to know who you are. So let's have a word of prayer together and continue on worshiping the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for being with us no matter what. You love us, you care about us, and especially today, Lord, as we come together, we sing your songs, we hear your word. We are in a good place as we can even pray to you today, Lord, in a corporate way. We thank you for so many blessings that you give to us more than what we deserve. And so I just pray, Lord, that you will use this morning in the hearts and lives of all of us that are here today, including myself. And we just give you thanks for the way that you have ministered to the hearts of those who've lost loved ones and have gone through quite a
quite a loss. And may you be with them, as I know you will be in the days ahead, as they deal with that loss and deal with their grief as well. And we have others here, Lord, that have gone through that loss in the last little while too, and so on. May we always remember that we need you in our hearts and in our lives for all things. Things change. And thank you that you don't. And so we just praise your name today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rock of Ages. I'm sorry, let's do the responsive reading.
Well, it's me. Already. Well, thanks for singing that last song. That was pretty fast. The responsive reading this morning. It says, come and listen. Do you have ears? That means you can listen. Some of you have hearing aids in. Turn them up. All you who fear God, come and listen. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer.
Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
Welcome, Jesus.
stand. If you're able to stand this morning, please do so. And our text today comes from Matthew 13. Some of you are saying, like, when are we going to get out of Matthew chapter 13? Well, it might be the last day. We'll see. I'd like to read from Matthew. It's just one verse, so you're not going to be standing too long. Verse 44, Matthew 13, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Lord, heaven is the place where you want all of us to come and to be a part of, because that's where you are. And it's for eternity. If we could just grasp a little bit of that today, it would be great. We're all interested in heaven, Lord. So help us to hear what you have given to us here today, in understanding a little bit of what heaven is like. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you have noticed probably that Pastor Dan Winkelwich is here today. My sermon will probably be short, and it's going to be a tag team thing. So get ready, Dan. If I go sit down, that means that's your sign to come up. I'm not going to kind of touch you or something. Heaven, what is it like? We talk about it at different times. We may have our own thoughts about what heaven is like, but it is a place. And it is a place that we do not want to miss out on. That's right, you can't miss out on heaven. It is for everybody, but Jesus has told us that there's one way to get there. It's not many ways. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, it's like the spokes on a bicycle. You know, it all comes out from the middle there. There's a lot of different ways to get to heaven, and it doesn't matter what one believes, and I disagree with that. Because Jesus never lies. Jesus says there only is one way. And he tells us that our sins need to be forgiven, because heaven is a place where there is no sin. If there's one sin in heaven, it's not heaven anymore. That's why you and I need to be forgiven of our sins and cleansed of them. And Jesus is the only one who has done that for us when he went to the cross and died for us, and rose again on the third day like he said he was going to do. There's been no one else in the whole world that has ever said, I will come again, I'll come back to life, and you'll hear me and see me. And there may have been some who have said that, but people are still waiting for centuries, but they've never come back. We can go to a lot of different places where there's graves of even those who've said, there's a heaven, and they'll come back. The grave is still there, the person is still there. But with Jesus, the tomb is empty. And he showed himself, and he talked with his disciples, and he met with 500 other of his followers in 40 days. He was seen by many people and heard before he ascended up in heaven, and few of his disciples saw him go up. So what do you know about heaven? What is it like? There are a number of parables, and the parables are a story that Jesus used to get the attention of people in explaining a spiritual truth to them that they had come to understand. And Jesus comes onto the scene after Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, said that one day, someone is going to come and speak in parables, and those who can hear and those who can see, some of them will understand, and The ones who really want to understand will. But the ones who don't want to understand won't. So I hope you're here today wanting to understand what heaven is like. I'm just going to look at one little portion here. But you can read the 13th chapter of Matthew yourself and get an idea of what heaven is like. Because it's there for you and for me to read and to trust the words of the Lord. A treasure hidden in a field, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. I want to tell you a true story. Back in the day, what is now known as Ukraine, when the Bolsheviks came to draft the German young men, the families who had gone to Russia to farm, the land that the Russians could not find someone to farm, the Bolsheviks started drafting German young men to serve in the Russian army. That is when things got a little excitement happened, because that's when the German families that went there to farm said, "You're not taking my son." And that's when many started to immigrate and come to America. My grandfather was one of those boys where his dad said, "Enough. We are leaving Odessa," where they farmed. And he said that the farmland there was flat. It was very productive. It looked a lot like the Red River Valley, which is like 2 feet black dirt. You can grow anything. It's gorgeous land. But before they left, the people would take their valuables and they would dig a hole in their field and they would bury their valuables, because there was no banks at that time. And they buried their belongings that was to them was important. And they were hoping that someday they would be able to go back there and dig up their possessions and regain them. Which never happened. So someone else started farming the land that they left. And when they were out there plowing, of course this goes back 100 years ago, they're plowing, you know, not with tractors, this is with horses. And they're out there plowing, and if that plow hits something, guess what? Because there's no rocks in this area, but when they hit something, they knew, aha, we have just struck it rich. We have come across somebody's possessions that was buried before they left. And they would dig it up and find out what was there. I heard my grandpa talk to other men at the time, which I thought was boring because he was just sitting around smoking his pipe and telling what it was like to live in Russia, because he grew up there and swam in the Black Sea on Sunday afternoons. And I listened to this and I'm going like, never had heard this before. And then you look at what our scripture says, Jesus telling a parable of how this really fits with what happened there over 100 years ago. But the real focus of the emphasis of this parable has to do with the joy of the one who finds the treasure. Harbor of joy. There's a joy here because of Jesus. How else can you explain all the different backgrounds of where you have come from and how you were brought up? And you can come to a church and still love and sense that love and feel that love from other people with so many different backgrounds and occupations that are here. And it only happens, it seems like, in a church, that you go deeper than just on a social part of things. It's the spiritual part that really brings us together. The love of Jesus. So we need a revelation. We need a revelation from God that we're a sinner. James, chapter 1 of James, talks about looking into a mirror. And how a person looks into the mirror and after a while goes away from the mirror and he forgets what he looks like or what she looks like. We don't like what we see when we look in the mirror. But every one of you today probably had to look in the mirror before you came to church. Did you like what you saw? Did you say, "Hi, I love you"? No, probably didn't even say that. He's going to go like, "Oh, brother, I think I need a shower. My hair is all over the place." But God reveals to us, which is very important, that we need faith, that He gives. But we need to understand we're a sinner, which means sin separates us from God. And we're lost because of sin. The only way that I can be found and not be lost is to go to the Lord and receive His forgiveness. Because God will reveal my sin and He will also show me how to be forgiven. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And He watched His Son die. He even had to turn His back. And Jesus was on the cross because Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because God could not look at sin. And Jesus took the sin of the whole world upon Himself, that we may be forgiven. He did that because He loves you. He loves me. And it's hard sometimes to say, "No, I'm just a dirty, rotten scum because of sin." Because that's true. That's truly what we are. But God has provided a way that we can be cleaned up. We don't have to stay a skunk our whole lives. God's good at changing us into something more like sheep, like a lamb, be part of His family. There's nothing but joy in knowing that you're going to heaven. Being at Chuck Taylor's side in the room that he was in, it was kind of one of those things I go like, I think I need to just ask you, Chuck, you know? You know you're going to heaven. Of course, he thought that was the stupidest question I could ever ask. He goes, "Of course! Of course I love Jesus, and Jesus is my Savior." I go, "That's all I needed to know. That's all I wanted to know, Chuck. Sorry, but I just had to ask him." But there was joy there because we started singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." As many of you know that song too, we sang it yesterday during the funeral. So we think of treasure as hidden, and it's found in a field. It brings joy, and that's what joy does when we know that we're going to heaven. But we need God to show us that that's where we're headed. And we trust His words. The older you get, you realize the more important it is to know that you're going to heaven. Do not trust the pastor to preach you into heaven. It won't work. God is the judge. He knows if you're ready. If you have faith in His Son Jesus, because of John 3:36 says, you know, you have the Son, you have life, but if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. He's talking about eternal life. And I know there's many people who don't like to hear that.
speak the truth to you this morning. Today we would, you know, I could name this the title of the sermon, Finders Keepers. Because if you found something in the Jewish day of when Jesus spoke this, if you found something, it was yours. When it comes to heaven, it's God's place. But it brings joy when we know that we're going to heaven. There was a time I did not know I was going there. There was a time I knew that if Jesus came that day, I was hellbound. I was not going to heaven. I was involved in too much junk and garbage. There's no way God would let me into heaven. And then I heard Jesus went to the cross and took my place. He died for me and paid the price that I could not ever pay. And he did it for me free. It doesn't cost me anything other than just saying, it's a gift. Receive the gift by faith, which I have done. I'm still not a perfect person. But in God's sight, I'm perfect because of Jesus who lives in me. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And it was only Peter who said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, Simon, good job. Everybody else was saying that Jesus was something else. It was only Peter who said that he was the Christ. And yet he was not a perfect guy either, as we know later on. But Jesus said, you did not say that on your own, but God had revealed that to you. The place in which he said this is in Caesarea Philippi. I've been there. It had to be a beautiful place back in the day when the first was there because there was a big temple there. It's a big, about 40, 50 feet of a rock cliff. And within the sides of that wall, it is hewn out where they had different gods in the side of that cliff. And the people would come there and they would worship them gods. It's a pretty place. And it doesn't look as pretty as it would have been back in the day when the disciples and Jesus were there. There was a place where people went to worship their god or many gods. And when Jesus was there, he just said, who do you say that I am? He first said, what do others say who I am? And he got a variety of different answers. And only Peter, Simon, said, you are the Christ, which is, means the Messiah. And that kind of changed everything for the disciples. The Messiah had come. The Messiah was before them. They were following the Messiah. I don't know if any of you know, but the group, there's a rock group called U2. Comes from Ireland, I believe, is where they're from. And they have a song that's, the chorus is, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Some of you probably have heard that. Some of you go like, I don't listen to that stuff. But it's kind of a sad song because of all the things that people look for today in their lives, they never find what they're looking for when it comes to really deep peace in their hearts and lives. They look for this and for that, and they try to do this and that, and it never holds up. Something else will have to come along the way that they'll run after. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, and that's in John 14:6. Jesus doesn't lie. So the question for you this morning, is who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Who is he for you? Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, in chapter 29, verses 13 through 14, he says this. This could be you today. Seek me with your heart, and you will find me. Seek me. By faith, we seek. And God said you will find me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know who is here this morning who is seeking you or coming here thinking that this is not the kind of service it would be like. But here we are. Take us the way that we are, which you always do, and point us to the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. He came not just for the Jews, he came for the Gentiles and everyone else in the whole world. He showed no favoritism, but he loved everyone the same. And he will still do that today if we are seeking him in our lives. So Lord, today we just say, come and do what only you can do. If we see that we are a sinner and know that sin keeps us out of heaven, may we repent. May we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Will you help me to live as Jesus would want me to live? And we even know if we pray that, Lord, that we're going to mess that up. But we just keep coming back and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness again. You never fold your arms and say, you've asked me once, I did it for you, and don't ever come back again. You'll do it every time. Because your love is unconditional. And so, Lord, if there's someone here today that really is seeking this and really says, I need this, and I didn't even know what to call it, may you have your way. And may he or she open up their heart's door and invite you in to be their Savior. May they have the joy of knowing that they are clean, they've been forgiven, and all is new. What comes forward from this day. So thank you, Lord, for my dear friends that are here this morning. And those who are watching by Zoom, wherever they may be today as well, we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything you want to add there, Pastor Dan? Okay, amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together and read it up on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit
and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and as you are seated, may you know that God cares about you, that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. Well, sometimes we need to hear over and over again how much Jesus loves us. Before Bob plays, let's just sing, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me, this I know.